You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
Now, they're saying I should think stuff like this. They're saying
something is wrong with me.
To be so cynical.
Practice.
Welcome to the latest installment of Positive Cynicism. As I mentioned in the State of the Union, or the State of the Podcast episode, a couple episodes back, we're trying to focus on themes for every episode, where each week of the month you will know what the topic is going to be. So far, we've only nailed down two topics. Week three will always be Question Everything, the new interview segment of Positive Cynicism. And my first installment of that will be coming up in 2 weeks, where I will be interviewing Tom Skull, co-host of Tom and Jim's Top 5 and the Skull Buster Russell Cast podcast. I got that correct. Practice pays off. And then the last week of the month will always be the Wonder Why segment, which our first installment looking at Men Without Hats safety dance song. Got some very positive feedback, so we're looking forward to the next episode, and I think that's going to be a popular series here on Positive Cynicism. But we're still trying to figure out what the first 2 weeks of the month are going to be. And right now, for this week, we're just going with some topics that were kind of made the news a week or two ago that we're going to touch on, and then a topic that Greg Mahochko, the founder and president here at the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, suggested. So we'll get into that in a minute, but the first topic I want to lead off with is the biggest return in sports history. After, I think it's been 17 years, or actually will be 19 years by the time it actually launches, the XFL is back. That's right. He Hate Me is somewhere hitting the gym, getting ready. Tommy Maddox is finishing his shift at the beauty parlor, sweeping up hair, trying to get back into shape. And if anybody catches that reference, you earn bonus points in my book. I can't believe that the XFL is actually coming back. I hope that Vince McMahon has learned his lesson from the first time around. He has said that there will be no WWE crossover promotion, which I think is a good thing. I think this brand needs to stand on its own. And I'm curious to see where they go with, there's going to be 8 teams in the first season. All teams will be owned by the XFL. I'm curious to see where those cities land. Personally, I think San Diego and St. Louis should be top choices, given that they've both lost their recent NFL franchises to Los Angeles. And I would go someplace that doesn't have a NFL team or a major college team. I would look at probably like maybe a Boise or a Montana, someplace out of the norm where you might be able to attract audiences. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the NXFL or the XFL. And the other major thing I think that they need to focus on is not doing primetime games. I think that was probably one of the things that hurt them most in the first incarnation, was putting these games out there on a Saturday night, which, granted, Saturday night today on primetime is the wasteland of repeats, so it's not like when the league first started in 2001. Maybe primetime might work, but I would still go keep your expectations low with afternoon weekend games like typical football schedule. And yeah, you have to keep the expectations low and realize that there should be a good 5-year plan for the initial start of the season. And I was joking with Mike DeKalb, the hockey transplant, who is on the Wonder Why episodes with me, and he's been on before. And we were talking, because we've been doing the last 4 seasons of the NHL seasons, going around trying to see a game in every NHL arena. That quest will hopefully wrap up next season, barring any unforeseen delays. And I was saying, well, what are we going to do after that? Well, in 2020, we can go around and see all 8 XFL teams. And we're only going to have 1 season to do it, because it will probably only last 1 season. I don't know. But I have Mike DeKalb actually here with me now. He's sitting across. He's been kind of shaking his head at the XFL news. He doesn't understand why it's coming back, much like everyone else on the planet.
I'm stone cold stunned.
Ah, good one. But we're going to segue into actual hockey conversation because, as I said, Greg Mahochko had requested a show kind of wrapping up the NHL All-Star Weekend, which was last weekend in Tampa Bay, which Amalie Arena is one that we have been to. It's a very nice arena.
One of our favorites, yeah.
Yeah. Next year, I saw that the All-Star game is going to be in San Jose. You know, might have to see about a trip, but...
I've questioned it. I thought about it. My only concern is at the same time, it's January of next year, and right as it stands right now, my plan is to possibly go to Puerto Rico to see Hamilton, since Lin-Manuel Miranda is returning to the role, and they're going to do it in January. Okay. And so I'm like, we'll do a trip around the Martin Luther King holiday. So right now we're debating on going to Puerto Rico. So I might not be in the country when the game's in San Jose, but it would be a good opportunity because SJ Sharkey is one of the few mascots I've yet to be photographed with. When we go to our trips, we always try to get a picture with the mascot, especially in their native habitat. And I seem to keep missing SJ Sharkey, and we missed him when the All-Star game was in Los Angeles last year that we went to. Yeah.
He's a busy mascot. He's a shark, so he can't stop to take photos. He has to keep moving, otherwise he will die. Mm-hmm. And we don't want SJ Sharkey to die.
One of the best.
So we are at the halfway point of the 2017-2018 hockey season. I'm going to let Mike kind of control this conversation since he is the hockey guru, and I am going to try to make witty comments that probably won't be that witty. But we're just going to kind of recap the first half of the season, see where the season goes and what we have planned for the finals, and maybe make a few Stanley Cup predictions at the end.
Vegas. No, it's like I said, I think the biggest story of the year is still Vegas. I've been watching hockey about 25 years now, and I've seen expansion teams. The first year that I watched hockey was when the Ducks and Florida Panthers came in. I remember how bad expansion teams always were. And I remember when Nashville and Minnesota and Columbus, all those teams came in the league. I've seen it, and it seems like we've seen it in other sports. I remember when what was the NBA ones? The Raptors and the Grizzlies, they weren't good.
I was going to say, I had season tickets for the LA Kiss, the arena football team, and they were not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of the big complaints now is like, before the expansion draft was held, there was a lot of people saying like the rules are a little unfair because in previous expansion drafts, the existing teams got to protect so many players, and then the expansion teams got left with just scraps. And then this year, it was $500 million for the Vegas owner Bill Foley, and so they wanted to like give them a good chance. They didn't want them to be bad, and so they set it up to where you only protect a handful of players. They did exempt all like players who were in their first or second year, so you could protect your future stars. But yet, after the draft was over and when you saw who got picked, it seemed like people said, oh, they're going to be terrible. And so many of the media seemed to have them picked last, maybe second to last. But then all of a sudden, they're winning, and it's sort of disappointing to see everybody complaining that, oh, it's fixed and it's rigged and they got an all-star team. And it's like, no, everyone thought they were going to be bad. They picked the right players to fit in with their coach, Gerard Gallant's system, and they're just playing as a team. There's no, they've got star players, and James Neal and David Perron was when he was with St. Louis, but, like, they're just kind of doing it as a team, and everybody contributes every night, and it's a good story. And now, can they, I don't know. What's funny about it is I'm seeing people that Vegas fans are getting upset when they lose now. Like they're not used to losing. And I got a feeling that they're going to be crushed if they don't win in the playoffs. But at the same time, I feel like, shouldn't they have some sort of, like most sports teams, you like to see them have a deflating loss so they come back strong next year. Who knows? Could you imagine if they win this in the first year?
I don't think it's going to happen. It would be nice. Yeah. It'd be the great cap to this, Cinderella season, but mm-hmm. I don't see it happening. And going back to the expansion draft, my limited knowledge of players, the most shocking one to me was Marc-Andre Fleury mm-hmm. getting drafted as goalie, coming from the Penguins, just winning the Stanley Cup. And, that was a little heartbreaking as a Penguins fan, but unfortunately he's also been out part of the season with a concussion, mm-hmm. But he has just been, a tremendous goalie in his own right. I mean, as we knew he should have been because he was
Named to the All-Star team, was outstanding in the All-Star game. Won the, they had a goalie skills competition where he had a save streak, a brand new competition that they created, and he won it. He's good. Pittsburgh getting rid of him was just a matter of they had a younger goalie that they wanted to build off of, and he had a really expensive contract, and so there was a chance. They actually gave Vegas a second round draft pick to take him because they were worried that they wouldn't take him, and they wanted to clear that contract off of their cap, and so they actually gave him a 2020 second round pick. So it's a few years out, and now he's the face of the franchise essentially.
Who knew? And speaking of Vegas, you and I were in attendance at the first Vegas home regulation season home game.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, because of circumstances the week prior with the mass shooting in Vegas, Vegas kind of changed their plans for the home opener. And instead of doing all the fun stuff, they made it more of a celebration of Vegas and brought out the first responders and EMTs. And that made it more emotional as a game. But yeah, I think being there for that first game, take away the negative aspect of what happened. You were just, I think you had mentioned before that one of the things going into the season is how is Vegas going to react to a team? Because this is, I believe, the first professional team to be in Vegas.
Yeah, not counting minor league sports. Right. But yeah.
And, especially being down where the T-Mobile Arena is, down on the Strip, it's how many Vegas locals are you going to get as opposed to just people in town? And it helps that the team has been winning, but I think that added to that atmosphere in there was a little shocking.
Mm-hmm. I mean, shocking in a good way?
Shocking in a good way, yeah. We were standing outside before the game when they had the parade, the players came around, and all the fans were there. And it was just like, I think the fans of Vegas were ready for this team and had embraced them, even though with the expectation that they weren't going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that expectation has been exceeded, like you said, but I think even if they wouldn't have been as good as they are, I think they would still be maybe not selling out every game, but a high percentage.
Well, like I said, and the fans finally had a team of their own, and I think that's what that was a big thing. And what gets me is I don't understand how people don't realize. They just assume that Vegas is all casino employees and tourists. And I had one of my elementary school friends actually used to live there, and he lived in North Vegas in the suburb. He had a wife and kids, and they were hockey fans. They were Colorado Avalanche fans. That was one of the closest teams to them, not counting Arizona. And you realize there's a lot of people living there now. No state taxes. Houses are really cheap. And so there's a whole suburban area. Now, granted, do they want to go on to the Strip for a game? Well, they're going to have to. But it seems like that's such a good opportunity for this team, for this city to embrace this team. And to their credit, to the team's credit, after the tragedy, that week leading up to their first game, they were going out into the community. They did blood drives. They met with they went to the police station. They were meeting with first responders. And so they wanted to be. They realized they've got three years until the Raiders moved to town. And so being good was one thing, but I think they really wanted to get out there and get into the community. I mean, even after the expansion draft, they had four players there at the expansion draft. That very next day, they're in, it's middle of June in Vegas, and they're wearing their jerseys, driving around town, just doing public appearances and stuff everywhere. And so they really basically said, we wanted to be part of this community. And so that's why when we bought our tickets, we got our tickets for the home opener, a couple months ahead of time. Who knew? I mean, it was weird to be there that day. It was so somber and reflective, but just so tremendously wonderful, And then having them continue to win, all of a sudden they're a hot ticket. I checked. I'm actually going to Vegas next month. We were going to go to a hockey game. The ticket prices are insane right now, and it's nice on the one hand, but at the beginning of the season, tickets were dirt cheap, which was kind of funny. But the only what I think is kind of interesting is, as much as the local fans have embraced the team, it's still an expansion team. And I think a lot of people will say, oh, well, the arena is going to be half full of opposing teams' fans. Well, on the one hand, you're going to get people flying out, our team's going to be in Vegas on this day. Let's go out and make a trip to Vegas, and then we get to go see the Red Wings or Rangers fans from New York can fly out. But at the same time, if there were hockey fans in Vegas prior to last year, they probably already had a team that they cheered for. So what they'll do is they'll cheer for Vegas 80 nights a year, and then the other two nights is when they play their original team. And they're not going to give up their allegiance, I guess, and I can understand that. But if you watch the games on TV, you'll see pretty much every game, even even if they're playing Columbus, the lower bowl has got a whole handful of fans of the visiting team. And it kind of makes it interesting, because now when the opposing team scores, you do get a nice roar. But
no, it's good. And it's also a first-year team, so you have to build that audience. You know, I think both you and I have jumped on the Golden Knights bandwagon.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure other people in Vegas have done so as well. But yes, give them time to build up. Like you said, get that young fan who's just getting into hockey or doesn't have the loyalty to a team. And I think in 10 years, it's going to be completely different.
Oh, yeah. And they spent a lot of time over the summer doing random hockey clinics. And these street hockey clinics for like these young kids, giving them a hockey stick for the first time. And they've also done an interesting job where they did a bus trip where they went to Idaho and Montana and all these regions where the flagship TV channel that broadcasts their games is available in those states. So they basically, you know, the owner lives in Montana. And so he said, we want to be the team of the Rocky Mountains. Now, I don't know how Colorado feels about that, but it's kind of interesting that like if you live in Idaho, you're going to get Vegas Golden Knights games on your TV. And then maybe you can make a once a year trip down and go see your new favorite team. And so that whole region has now got fans. But what the most interesting thing about it, like you mentioned jumping on the bandwagon, I think for me, you know, we talk about like fantasy football being really popular. And I've tried to explain this to people who aren't sports fans. But if you sitting at home really love a sport, you don't necessarily... You fantasize about, oh, I wish, you know, I was a player, I could, you know, win a championship. You don't really fantasize about being the coach, but diehard fans, we fantasize about being a general manager. Because it's so much, it's fascinated by how you construct the team. Being a coach, you know, you decide the players, but the players, I should say, the players, that's the GM's job. And I think one of the reasons that I embraced Vegas is because this is our first chance to see a team being built from scratch in the era of the salary cap. And it was, I spent all summer doing all this research and figuring out like, who are they going to pick in the expansion draft? And it's so fascinating. I'm still thinking about what they're going to look like in 4 years. Oh, the guy they drafted this year, he'll be 21. You know, this player will retire, you know? And so that's kind of why I became a fan of this team. The fact that they're close enough that I could make a trip out there, but yet far enough where the local games aren't blacked out. Yeah. Like I can still watch them on my NHL app. So that's kind of been the key. And so it'd be nice to do one, maybe two trips every year and go see a game. Find a good week or sometime when Vegas isn't crowded. I don't know when that would be, but...
July, but they're not playing. Yeah. And I've been kind of surprised. I don't know how the TV deal works with like the NHL Network and NBC Sports Nation, but I'm surprised that more Vegas games have not been shown nationally because of the success that the team has had.
Well, fortunately, at least for NBC, that schedule comes out at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And everyone thought they were going to suck. I mean, that first game was on NBC.
Right.
The first game we were at was on NBC.
Time.
Yeah. And then, actually, ironically, they played Friday night against Minnesota, that game was on NBC. They're on NBC, I think, six times this year. Yeah. Now, next year, those numbers might change. And to be honest, it actually probably will improve because they're trying to get more West Coast teams. You can only show the Kings and the Sharks so many times. And they don't show Canadian teams because there's no ratings to be had by showing Canadian teams. And at least that's how they think.
Yeah. And time zones, I'm sure, is also
an issue. And so I think it'd be nice. They're trying to do more doubleheaders and stuff. So I would not be surprised if there's more late games, Vegas home games, as the second half of a doubleheader, you know, after they show one of the New York or Boston teams or something like that.
Now, we've talked about how good the team has been on the ice, which has brought fans. But I think the other aspect of building that Golden Knights fandom is the Twitter account.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's the only NHL, besides the official NHL account, it's the only one that I follow. So I may be speaking uninformed by not following the other teams. But the Golden Knights Twitter is probably one of the best sports Twitter accounts out there.
Well, I think it helps that in full disclosure, I met the guy who runs it. The very first Vegas game, the very first game that was ever played and featured players wearing Vegas jerseys was a rookie camp game in El Segundo down near the LAX, and they played against the Kings rookies. And so I went to that. It was free, and I showed up, and I sat near some of the writers, like in the press row. And I was joking with one of the writers about that Vegas Twitter account, and he was like, "Oh, the guy that runs it's sitting right there." and he's not 30. He's not 30 yet. Like, he's this young kid. Okay. And but yet he like he went to college and studied. I mean, he's worked with several different teams. Like, he knows what he's doing. And I think there's a lot of people that mock him that think he's just some punk kid. And it's like, no, he's actively. I don't know, the term I always hear people say is engagements. Mm-hmm. Like, they're by far the greatest NHL team when it comes to like online engagements. The amount of people that look at their material mm-hmm. and sort of engage with them. And it helps that he is sort of a child of the 80s and 90s. That makes so many pop culture references that you and I do. Mm-hmm. He often mentions the Mighty Ducks movies or Boy Meets World or wrestling.
Yeah.
And he has this thing where he does a lot of, like, when they go on road trips, he'll try to find filming locations of popular movies mm-hmm. in that city, and then he'll tweet it out. And so he was very nice to me, and I said, hey, would you mind, could I interview you for my blog? And he gave me his card, and he said, hey, just shoot me an email. I'll email me all the questions you want to answer. I'll be more than happy to answer them anytime you want. And he was really, really friendly. And so I figure maybe during the summer when I need content to talk about with Vegas, I'll drop him a line.
And he'll be a little less busy.
Right? Yeah, true. And I think the one time the first blog I ever wrote about the Vegas, I had a thing called the Squire Report. Because the Golden Knights, the people who support the Knights, are called Squires, right? And so I have a Squire report that I do every month on my blog. And I sent him the first one. And he said, hey, thanks. Kind of busy, you know. And so, but the funny thing was, they were on, I guess Vegas was on Hockey Night in Canada. I think it was when they played the Leafs. And they interviewed him. And it was so, I read an interview with him afterwards where he said it was so bizarre. He's on live television. And he's like, here's the Twitter account guy. And they're like, send a tweet. And he pulls his phone out and he just types something up, and they're like, there it is, I just tweeted. It was a little bit weird, but it's almost like it was an older reporter that's just like, oh, look at these young whippersnappers and what they're doing.
Twitter machines, yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's true. And I mean, like I said, I know there's a lot of people that don't like it, which there's a mute and a block button for a reason. People would rather just complain. But that has helped, and I think that's – I wonder what they would be like. Like, I think there's a lot of people a lot of fans across the league – that they have their team, but then they kind of want to cheer for Vegas because they're new and it'd be a good story, and they really love that Twitter account.
Yeah, that's great. So we're halfway through the season. We said Vegas is the top story, like the surprise story. On the opposite side, what is the biggest, I guess you'd say, disappointment in the NHL season this year?
Well, the biggest disappointment would have to be the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, they're built this. They have the best young player in the game, Connor McDavid. They gave him a $100 million contract, which kicks in next season. So the idea is you want to win while he's still only getting paid, I think, $900,000 against the salary cap. And so last year they built this team. They surprised a bunch of people. They got to the second round, lost to Game 7 in the second round. They're only, I think they were even tied in that game. It's like a period away from going to the third round of the playoffs. And so everyone thought this was going to be, okay, that they have to win now this year. And instead, they traded away one of their young forwards, Jordan Eberle. And then they gave some big contract extensions to some guys who were not as good. Like, Chris Russell was a defenseman. They gave him like a 4-year deal, even though he probably didn't deserve that. And they've just struggled. They've really mightily struggled. And so, unfortunately, like when I said we were going to be a Vegas fan, I was going to be a Vegas fan. I thought that Vegas would be in the bottom of the standings and Edmonton would conceivably be at the top and we'd be looking up at them. But it's been the exact opposite. Edmonton, I mean, with the Coyotes who have been awful this year, but Edmonton's probably been the biggest disappointment. I think there's a lot of fans in Montreal who thought they were going to be good this year, and Chicago, which we're over Chicago, but you're used to them being good, but it's finally, they have a lot of salary cap problems. They got a lot of really... They got aging players on expensive contracts, and it's finally catching up with them. And so we'll see what they end up doing. But right now, they're last place, which is, I think that's a big surprise. They're not, the funny thing is they're in a tough division, so they're still not too far out, but they are technically seventh out of seven teams in the Central Division. But no bigger surprise, no bigger disappointment than Edmonton.
Do you think Edmonton will turn it around next year? Or what do you think is the reason for the disappointing season this year?
Well, I think part of it too is, like I said, they traded away. They were worried about salary cap issues because, in addition to McDavid, they have a really good young center named Leon Draisaitl, and he's getting $8.5 million on his new contract, which started this year. And so when McDavid's contract kicks in next year, they were trying to shuffle some money around. They traded Jordan Eberle was making $6 million a year, and they traded him away because they were thinking about cap problems in the future. And so they never replaced his scoring. And then their bottom six forwards, third and fourth line score, they're not getting any production there. They've had a lot of key injuries. One of their top pair defensemen was injured. His name is Andre Sekera. He was injured in the summertime, and they said he's not going to come back until like January. And the GM made no effort to replace him. And by the time he did come back, they were so far down in the standings, they have so much ground to make up that it's almost a lost season. Now, I think, who knows, hockey's really good about that as far as teams can turn it around. We see it all the time. You know, Chicago won the division last year, and now they're last place. And so I think Edmonton, I would not be surprised if Edmonton's right back, make a couple of small moves, trade one guy, maybe sign somebody else, and they'll be right back.
Okay. One of my personal disappointing stories for the season that it seems to be turning around and having a decent year, and I may be completely off, but I know he was an all-star, and that was, before the season was started, my favorite non-Shark, Golden Knight, or Tampa Bay Lightning player, or Penguin, Brian Boyle, was diagnosed with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems to be back on the ice.
Oh, yeah?
He plays now for the New Jersey Devils. Mm-hmm. I don't follow the Devils that closely, but I did see that he was in the All-Star game, and I was hoping that he would, you know, score the game-winning goal for the team, but can you fill us in on the Boyle situation? Like, what do you know?
I mean, as far as I know, I believe, you know, I mean, it's still cancer, but yeah. as far as I've been told, it was one that was highly treatable,
okay.
And it was caught very early, and a lot of people have recovered. I think there's been other players who've even had it, and so I know he missed some time early in the year, came back. As far as I know, he's been healthy all in this lineup all season. They've been a surprise. New Jersey was supposed to be last place. They're in the playoff chase right now. They're holding down a playoff spot. And I think the all-star nod was because, you know, every team has to have a player. Mm-hmm. And New Jersey's best forward is a guy named Taylor Hall, who used to play for Edmonton, who they traded away. And Taylor Hall was injured and couldn't play in the all-star game. And so they said, we need another New Jersey Devil player. It's a good story. Oh, and he used to play in Tampa, where the game is being held. And so that kind of worked out for them. But he's been actually very good. So it's nice. The Vegas story is nice nice enough as it is, but even Brian Boyle's story is good as well.
And then I just saw something the other night that I don't know the full detail. Hopefully you can fill me in. The Ironman of the NHL this year, and Ironman not so much in games played this season, but games played in the last 30 years, Jaromir Jagr.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's 45 years old. You know, and it's weird to think he's the only guy in the NHL that was older than us. You know, there's a couple of guys who were 40. You know, there's Matt Cullen, who plays for the Minnesota Wild, who's, I think he's 40. It's weird to think of guys who were in video games when we were kids who were still playing. Time has just caught up with him. I think it was a wonderful story, him going to Florida and kind of reinvigorating his career the last couple of years. But there was, in the offseason, people were saying, oh, Vegas should sign him because they need help selling tickets. See the irony. And I wish we can go back to all those people who said Vegas should sign him and just say, look, no, winning hockey sells tickets. We don't need to have his mullet. But he went to Calgary, and it, I don't know if it was a good fit or not. All of a sudden, he started to get some injuries. And they basically said he owns his own team in the Czech Republic. And so they worked on a mutual termination. He went through waivers, so every team could have had a chance to pick him up. Nobody wanted him. I thought maybe he might try and play in the Olympics because there's a rule that if you're on an NHL contract, you can't play in the Winter Olympics this year. And so it seemed too convenient that they were terminating his contract a month before the Olympics started. But even he said, let these young kids from the Czech Republic play. I'm 45 years old. I want to do it. He went back. He's already playing in Czech Republic for his home team that he owns, or at least partially owns. So it's a shame. I mean, we got to see him. You and I did. We got to see him in New Jersey back in 2014. And the funny part was that was 4 years ago, so he was already in his 40s. He was one of the best players on the ice that night. He was still pretty productive. I was hoping to see him again. I said I'm going to Vegas next month. They were actually playing Calgary. And I thought, oh, maybe one last chance to see him. Now, I don't know. Will somebody else try him out next season? Would he want to do it anymore? I mean, he's in fantastic shape. But like I said, I think Father Time just kind of catches up with us all. Right?
Unfortunately, that is the truth that I can attest to on a daily basis.
How am I back?
He's back, hips, leg, yes, everything. It sucks, kids. Don't get old. That is the key lesson to take from this week's episode. Don't get old. Anyway, Mike, you said you had some questions for me.
Oh, absolutely. I thought, you know, this is your podcast, and I pride myself on having been kind of knowledgeable of hockey, and I could sit here and ramble all day. No one wants to hear that. So instead, I thought,
ask questions that I have no answers to.
I thought about like a trivia thing, but I was just like, no, that's not fair. You watched hockey when you were younger. You knew of the Penguins. But we started doing, I can easily remember, we started doing the hockey trips in 2013 because they had a lockout in 2012. And they only played a partial season in 2013. And I know a lot of people like to say, oh, they're not going to get any of my money anymore because of the lockout. And, you know, they'll be fine. You're only hurting yourself. And so I said that season, I put my foot down and said, I'm not buying any tickets that year. And so I didn't go to any games. And then the very next season, I said, okay, let's start doing these trips. And so I took you, our first trip was to Denver. And I'll never forget, and I don't know if you remember vividly as I do, but we walked into the first game in Denver. And during the pregame warm-up, the game hadn't even started yet, you turned to me and you said, where's the next one? Like, you were like, okay, when are we going to do the next one? I'm in. Even though I don't know if that was your very first hockey game, or I think you maybe been to something before.
I've been to some Kings games.
The Kings games, okay. And so I thought, like...
Well, I think it was freezing in Colorado, so I said, where's the next one? Because I want to make sure that it's summertime.
Well, that's true. And the next one, I think, was San Jose.
So it was, which I have got on record saying that is my religious experience game that made me a fan.
There you go. That, I don't know if I have that specific question in there, but... So we're looking at... You're looking at 5 years.
Yeah.
And I've talked about... I always said one of the reasons I'm a fan that I am, I became a fan in 1993. The Stanley Cup playoffs in 1993 were amazing. There were so many incredible moments. And the 2014 playoffs were so good. I was so happy for you that you got to see some really good playoff games that year. And I think that's what makes fans. And so I said, well, let's get a 5-year update, basically, and ask Chad.
5-year plan.
Yeah, I'm curious to know also because the idea of being like, I'm sure some of your listeners may not be hockey fans, and you can kind of tell them, hey, look, 5 years ago I didn't know as much, and look at where I'm at now. So the first question.
I know what a Zamboni is.
Do you know the hockey song by Stompin' Tom Connors?
I know that it was covered on the Yoga Hoser soundtrack.
Was it? Oh, yes. Okay, so the first, we'll keep it simple. Okay, yeah. I call it Chad's Hockey Questionnaire.
All right.
The first question is, well, simply, how often do you watch, and by what means? Cable, streaming, what do you do?
No, I have cable, the NHL Network and NBC Sports show hockey games. Not as frequently as I would expect them to, especially the NHL Network. It is now, hockey is probably the one sport that I will turn on out of just, oh, there's nothing else on. Okay, I'm going to watch hockey. Like, I don't watch basketball. I find the NBA to be pretty much unwatchable. The last game that I went to in Dallas, I left at halftime because I was so bored. Mm-hmm. Baseball, I don't turn on because I'm not a Dodgers or Angels fan. And, unfortunately, we don't get enough Cardinal games out here. And the only game that ESPN cares to show is the weekly Yankees-Red Sox game.
Baseball on TV can be a chore sometimes, too.
And, we're recording this 2 hours after Super Bowl 52 had just ended. And this season, I have been one of those people who kind of took the protest, the kneeling at the NFL games and said, okay, you know what? I am not going to watch your game. And I don't think I watched, other than the first... or the second week when the Dolphins played the Chargers, being a Chargers fan, I think I watched that game. I have not watched an entire football game until the Super Bowl this year, and that was just because I was with friends watching the game. But yeah, hockey has become, I will come home and see who's playing, and as long as the Blackhawks are not playing, I will turn on it. And I may not watch a full game, or especially since I get home about halfway through when a game is on. But I have probably watched more hockey voluntarily in the last 4 years on TV than I have the previous 40 years of my life.
And like I said, if you have cable, that means you have NBC Sports. Yeah. That means you could download the NBC Sports app, log into your cable provider, and you could watch the games live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
the games that are available and are showing in the market.
The NBC Sports. So it'll probably be, it's usually whatever, it's a lot of Rangers versus Boston or Philadelphia versus Washington. Obviously a lot of Blackhawks games.
But I was going to say, going back to your comment earlier about watching hockey growing up, I guess, my interaction with hockey at that time is growing up near St. Louis, we had KPLR, Channel 11 was the independent station that showed the Blues game.
Sure.
And every weeknight between 6 and 7 was like the syndicated programming hour. That's when you get like Charles in Charge, Out of This World, a few others that are escaping my mind right now. And I remember I would always watch that block, like during dinner, I'd turn it on. And I'd turn on the game, or I'd turn on expecting to watch We Got It Made or whatever it is. And and there's the Blues playing. And I'm like, wow. Why is hockey on TV? And I would turn it and go watch something else because I didn't, I think at the time, no one that I knew watched hockey. Hockey was not, even growing up 100 miles from St. Louis, we didn't have a hockey in school. Mm-hmm. And none of my friends watched it. So I didn't know the rules, as much. So, yeah, I didn't watch hockey until probably the year you and I lived together. It was the first time that I actually sat down and watched more than 30 seconds to a minute of a game. And then when you proposed the trips and be like, hey, let's do this, my first reaction was, no.
You wanted to travel, basically.
Yeah, it was more like, it's a place to, how often am I going to get to Buffalo or Winnipeg? So it's a good excuse. Mm-hmm. And then, as mentioned earlier, San Jose made me a hockey fan.
Oh, yeah. They do it right up there.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, like I said, I know that NBC Sports is usually two, if not three nights a week. I know Wednesday is a big deal. They have the Wednesday night rivalry night. The problem is their games that they have are usually 4:30 starts for us. The Wednesday night rivalry game is usually at 5. They might have some doubleheaders. I mean, I don't know if you get Fox Sports on your cable, so you get Kings and Ducks.
I get Kings and Ducks, yes.
So, and they're watchable. The Ducks announcers are, but at least you're watching for the opposing team, too, if you're not a Kings or a Ducks fan. So, okay, the next question is, do you follow along online? Do you keep track of standings, news? How do you stay informed?
I don't. That's my problem with sports is I don't know, stats and standings. I'll check the standings every so often, once a month, maybe, just to be like, oh, okay, who's in? Especially now that the NHL season is in the second half and we're, on the road to the playoffs, to borrow a phrase that is popular right now in other sports entertainment, I'll check to see where the teams that I like are. Are the Penguins in a playoff position? I know they've been bouncing back and forth. Mm-hmm. The Sharks are in a playoff position. And, are the Blackhawks out? Am I not going to have to watch a Blackhawks playoff game this season? But, yeah, that's about the extent of my knowledge of statistics.
Like NHL.com or Yahoo or NHL, ESPN?
Yeah, I'll just Google NHL standings and whatever comes up. I followed the NHL Twitter and the Golden Knights Twitter, as we mentioned. Mm. So any news that comes through there, I'll see. Or when watching a game, whatever, intermission news they'll put up. But.
Okay. Well, I highly recommend the NHL app. Mm. I mean, I use it because I have the NHL, I have NHL TV, so I can watch the games through the app. But they also have I still use Yahoo's app for scores. It's a little bit quicker. I like the interface. But NHL app is better for standings and stats and stuff like that. I think it's kind of funny you just mentioned it. The next question I had was, are there any Twitter follows or any people that you follow on Twitter that you would recommend? We said NHL, Vegas. Do you follow any of the beat writers? Do you get?
I don't because I don't follow hockey that in-depthly. I don't. I always say my fandom has always been did my team win? Did the team I hate lose? Mm-hmm. That's about the extent of it. And even, the trips that we've done, if you said, okay, who did Colorado play on that first game? Who won?
Oh, they played the Florida Panthers, actually.
Did they? Okay. Yeah. I would have guessed Minnesota Wild because I think I've seen them play the most. But yeah, there are very few games that I can actually recall what happened off the top of my head. I mean, I know when I saw the Blues play the Wild, TJ Oshie got a hat trick. When we went to Dallas and see them and saw the Stars play the Blues, Tarasenko scored a hat trick.
Oh, yeah.
That's about the knowledge of.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I thought you said at one point, didn't you follow some of the Penguins beat writers, but then you probably unfollowed them after a while?
I think last season, yeah. And I followed the Penguins last season, but.
Yeah. It's a little tricky. I mean, Twitter's weird with hockey because there's some of it's really good, and then some of it's also just a lot of trolling and a lot of really arguments, and people just enjoy being negative on there. So I can understand you not wanting to get too involved with hockey Twitter.
Right, and it's also I am trying to figure out how to use Twitter better and social media better to build this brand, and that's part of the goal for this year. Twitter in the past has not been a focus.
Oh, okay. Well, next question is a very easy one, and I think it's something that maybe we can get listen for your fans as far as recommendations. What is your favorite thing about hockey?
Mascots. we've been going to the games, so I think live hockey is better than televised hockey. Mm-hmm. It's that atmosphere. I think the sport is better because it is so, not because it's fast-paced, but because there's so little timeouts. Mm-hmm. Like in baseball, you have between each pitch and the innings, and you're just kind of like, I think baseball is a more sociable sport to where you go with people and you can talk during the game. You don't have to pay attention.
You're going to miss something in a hockey game if you're talking to people.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're sitting too close, you're going to miss a puck coming at you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Football is, it's kind of the same way where it's just kind of stop and go, stop and go. Hockey is, with the except, I mean, it's not nonstop all the time because you have penalties or faceoffs or icing or whatever, but it's just that speed of game. And it's, you know, I was just in the Philadelphia area last weekend, and I went to a Allentown Lehigh Valley Phantoms minor league game, the Flyers minor league team. And I sat second row, which normally when we go to these games, we sit in the upper deck because it's one of the cheap seats. And two, I like sitting up there because I can see the entire ice. You can see the plays, you know, setting up, what's going on. And then for this game, I was just like, you know, how often do you get a chance to sit down, especially for $25?
Sure.
And there wasn't a lot of seats to choose from anyway when I bought my ticket. So I'm like, yeah, let me go, just go. And it was a fun game, but I would never want to sit that close again because everything that I was on, like one of the edges right by the, in line with the goal, and everything that was right in that area in front of me was easy to see. Anything on the other side of the ice,
oh yeah,
I was watching the monitor because I couldn't see perspective.
It's fun to experience once. I mean, I don't know if you remember, when we went to the game, we saw the Arizona Coyotes, because their tickets were so cheap. It was the end of the season. They weren't making the playoffs. Yeah. And we sat in the fourth row, and we paid what we normally pay to sit in the upper deck at other arenas. And it was fun to see once, because you really see the speed that much better. But at the same time, you lose a little bit of perspective. I get to go. I have a friend, one of our, that takes me to Kings games every year. He has season tickets. He's like 10 rows behind the visiting bench. And so he always says, pick a game on the calendar and I'll take you. And the last 3 years, I'm actually going this Wednesday night. I always see the Kings play Edmonton Oilers because I want to see Connor McDavid. And when you see him that close, he's even faster and it's pretty amazing. So yeah, that was what I was curious. I think the, I'm always, what's fun to ask fans when they haven't, when they're still discovering the sport is, what do you like about it? And like, what makes it different about being there in person? I always try to tell people that it's one of the few sports, might be one of the only ones, that you substitute players without stopping the game. And so when you watch on television, they follow the puck on television. You don't see the guys changing off the camera. You see that when you go to a game. The first time you see it in person, it's so weird. You're like, you see three, four guys skate over to the bench and then three, four guys hop on afterwards. So I'm always trying to stay positive, but at the same time, I would like to ask, what is your least favorite thing, or what would you change about the NHL?
I was actually just about the NHL.
About the NHL, or just hockey.
Okay, well, I was actually going to bounce off your last question and say the things that I don't like about going to the games. It's fans, and not all fans. It's, you know, it's that certain pocket of fans that, as I mentioned last week when I was in Philadelphia, at the start of the game, when they were introducing the starting lineup for Tampa Bay, it was like, you know, starting at goalie, whatever the goalie's name is. And the crowds are like, sucks. It's just like when we went to Nashville. And, you know, it's just like, oh, you suck. It's that type of bottom feeder mentality. It's also like when a fight breaks out and that's what gets the fans riled up. It's instead of enjoying the sport and the competition, it's, I think the fighting aspect, which from my knowledge, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, has kind of dwindled in the last 15, 20 years. Mm-hmm. But I think there are still fans that want that aspect of the game. They want them, you know, it's like EA Sports 94, in 1894, like, I'm going to make it bleed.
Yeah.
You know?
Blades of Steel is all about the fight. Man, yeah. I was going to ask you, where do you stand on fighting? But yeah, is there, we get to that, but is there any, like I said, is there anything you would, like I said, would change, or is there anything you don't enjoy? Not necessarily about the fan experience, but just anything when you're watching on TV that you're just kind of like, I don't like that they do this, or I don't like they do that.
Yeah, nothing that I can think of off the top of my head. It's,
okay. Yeah. So now, okay, so then, like I said, so where do you stand on fighting? I know a lot of people have come. A lot of people came to the game because of fighting. I got into hockey or because they saw it. I used to always annoy me when I would watch highlights. Like, we're both from the St. Louis area, and we would see St. Louis Blues highlights on the news, and they would show the fight, but they wouldn't show that pretty 3-on-2 goal that gets scored. You know, that's why I got into the sport, was the beauty of it, the grace of these guys doing all this fast stuff while on skates. The fighting, it's I'm kind of over it. But
yeah, I think, as I mentioned, the fighting has gone down a little bit, so I don't think the fights that we see today are like the fights, you know, when the Broad Street Bullies are playing everything. And it's just,
I love that you know that, by the way, Broad Street Bullies.
It's just a feeling, I'm sure. But no, it's the fights aren't, to me, they're just time stoppage, you know, like, because you don't really do anything. It's not like you're fighting. It's just like a waste of energy and momentum. And I could see if you're losing and you want to slow the pace down, or but yeah, I think the game would be better off with less fighting.
And I think it's going that way. I think in the more concussion research that keeps coming out. And I was trying to explain to somebody that, like, used to always have, you'd have a couple of goon brawler types. Every team had one, and you knew they were going to probably fight at some point. And then what ended up happening within the last 3 or 4 years, when the players got faster, then they realize if one team put out a goon, the other team would just put out one of their fast players, skate around the goon, and that goon would be completely defensively unreliable, and so those guys have been phased out of the game as a result. Yeah, like you said, you still see it. If the fight breaks out of the game, everyone stands up. I do. The one thing I like about it is it is sort of self-policing, you know, because if somebody does something stupid, you know, they deserve to get a punch in the face, and it's nice to have that in the sport where you can't, you know, you, how many times do you see that in baseball? I mean, if they allowed fighting in baseball, if a guy got hit by a pitch and you said, okay, go ahead and rush him, and then just the two of you and nobody else can just hash it out, you wouldn't have all these bench-clearing brawls. They used to have bench-clearing brawls in the 70s in the NHL, and they said, no, we're going to stop this. Let the two guys fight, and then you go to the box when you're done for 5 minutes. So, okay, so then, I guess it's sort of related to that, but is there anything that you're still confused by, or is there anything you'd like to learn?
I'm still confused why some arenas do not offer souvenir cups at the concession stand. My collection is missing a few teams. You know, I understand the penalties, hooking, tripping, interference. Can I call them without a referee pointing them out? No, I don't know what, unless it's blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
You know, high sticking, slap, you know, slap, whatever. It's, so I'm still not that familiar with the game to know the ins and outs, but that doesn't affect my enjoyment of a game. It just goes on.
Was there something that you wanted to that you were looking forward to learning about that? Maybe no, because I always said that, like, I'm in that weird generation. I'm 41, you know, so I grew up with Blades of Steel, and then the EA Sports NHL games, and I think there's a lot of people my age, we got into the sport because of those games, and I think it's basically three tiered, which it seems like you're probably going in the same direction. The first thing you learn is the teams. Because that first EA Sports NHL game, they got the rights to the NHL teams, but not the players. So you had the Kings and you had the Penguins, but you only had number 99 and then number 66. Yeah. So there was no, if a goal was scored, the thing just said number 99 scores a goal. You knew who it was, but then you learned the teams. And then the second thing you learn is the players. The second time that EA Sports made a hockey game, it was the reverse. They could not get the rights to the teams, but they got the rights from the Players Association to have the players. So the teams are Los Angeles, New York, Pittsburgh. There's no logos, but you've got Mario Lemieux, you've got Wayne Gretzky. And so that's kind of how I learned who all these players were. I played that video game nonstop. Yeah. The third thing that you learn is the rules. And I learned the rules from, I never knew what line changes were. I never knew, like, what offsides, icing. You learn that from the video game. I think it's so much, because you're playing the video game, all of a sudden you stop and it goes offside and you're like, what did I do? And then you realize, oh, I took the puck into the zone and there was another guy already there.
See, what I learned is you go into the options menu, you turn off offsides, and then you play without that.
Turn off icing too, right? You could do that.
Well, icing I can understand. Like, I get what icing is. But yeah, offsides I didn't learn until, I think it was probably our third game, I asked you, like, what is, because I always thought it was a certain player had to get across the line first, not the puck going before you.
Puck has to be the first thing in. Yeah. And I think, and then the next thing, I mean, if you look at it, the next thing would be just the strategies. Learning, I think you learn about, like, why you have four lines, first line, second line, third line. You learn what a bottom pair defense is versus a top pair defense. And that just comes with time, because you watch enough games, you're going to realize, okay, Sidney Crosby is playing on the first line, but this guy that's on the fourth line is not as good as him, and he's trying to be defensive. So that's something you'd learn. So I always figure you learn the teams, you learn the players, then you learn the rules, and then you become a fan. Simply put, what player do you enjoy watching? Is there one? Or multiple?
Yeah. You know, as a Penguins fan, obviously Sidney Crosby is going to be the top. I mentioned Brian Boyle is a player that I like, and it's such a ridiculous reason why I like Brian Boyle. It's when we went, when he was playing with the
Rangers
in New York, and we went to the game at Madison Square Garden, It was his last year, I believe, in New York. And every time he touched the puck, the New York fans would boo him off the ice. And I didn't understand. You were explaining that apparently he wasn't living up to his contract.
Yeah, basically, I think, at the time.
And I just, because he was getting booed by his own team's fans, I'm like, this is the greatest player ever. And then next year he went to Tampa Bay, which was a team that by going to the Tampa Bay Arena when we went on the Florida trip, I just have kind of followed him along. And like, I have not seen him play in New Jersey.
They don't show a lot of New Jersey games on TV.
Yeah, so it's been more like just the New York effect has carried over for Brian Boyle. Okay. Obviously, with jumping on the Golden Knights bandwagon, James Neal has been a surprise.
Former Penguin as well. Fleury was a former Penguin, yeah.
Other than that, I don't... there's still players that I don't recognize off the ice.
Oh, sure.
You know, and even on the ice, if I don't see their number and their name, I'm just like, oh, it's that guy with the puck.
That just comes from, you watch enough, I kind of recognize the way that guys skate a little bit. I mean, I think it's just going to come with time. It's just, I think that's kind of the fun part is, it's interesting when you can become a fan of a team and then you watch them play somebody else and you go, ooh, that other guy, like, he's fun to watch. And that's what I found with Connor McDavid. He's so electrifying. When he has the puck, you just can't take your eyes off him. And I would highly recommend to you, anybody else listening, guys like Connor McDavid, or there's also, I think, Erik Karlsson from Ottawa, who's a defenseman, and he does things from defense that you don't see. Most defensemen don't kind of stay back. He's constantly jumping in, trying to get off. And those guys are the kind of people that you pay to go see. So, again, don't want to be negative, but we'll show the yin to the yang, the cynic to the positivity. Yeah. Have you found any player or team that you find yourself rooting against, and why?
This season, I am rooting against Drew Doughty for the Kings. Okay. And the reason being is the last Kings game that I went to, in the last minute of the second period, I believe it is, it's the McFlurry minute.
McFlurry minute, yes.
Where if the Kings score in that last minute, everybody gets a coupon for free McFlurry. Mm-hmm. Daughtry, am I pronouncing that right? Doughty. Daughtry is an American Idol contestant.
Country singer.
Yeah. He had the puck, and instead of going for a goal, he just ran out the clock. So he denied me the chance at a free McFlurry. So therefore, he is on my negative list for this season.
I got that once. I went to a Kings versus Blues game with some people who were St. Louis Blues fans, and the Blues won that game, but the Kings did score in the McFlurry minute. They weren't happy, but I was like, oh my God, I'm getting McFlurry's
fine. Yeah, and I went to a Penguins game, and they made every last minute the McFlurry minute because Fleury was the goalie for the Penguins.
Fleury was still playing for them. Yeah. Okay. Do you find yourself, or at least have you ever, do you enjoy other levels of hockey? I mean, like AHL, Canadian junior hockey. I mean, we haven't seen too much NCAA. It's on on cable. CBS Sports Network and any NBC Sports do both show college hockey. Yeah. You see some high level hockey, but have you watched non-NHL hockey and found yourself enjoying it?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen 12 different AHL teams. Mm-hmm. In person. And I, as I mentioned, I was just at a Lehigh Valley Phantoms game, which was a fun game. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done some Canadian junior teams.
I was thinking, the first one that came to mind, I know we did Vancouver. Do you remember, was there another Canadian junior game that I took
maybe, to? Maybe I'm just thinking OHL, because we did the 76 or the 67.
Oh, the 67, the Ottawa, yeah, and the Niagara game.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the three that were junior. That was a different experience. How do you compare that to, like, AHL, which is minor professional, versus OHL is teenagers, but...
I mean, to me, it's all the same. It's, okay. Yeah, it's... Again, I think the especially the Canadian juniors, like you said when we've gone, it's more of a fan or a family because it's high school kids playing, and so it's their families, their friends coming to watch them play. And
classmates, yeah.
Yeah, and everybody kind of knows each other, so you get that camaraderie that you get from certain NHL... like season ticket holder blocks. Like when I went and saw a Minnesota Wild game a few seasons back, I got one ticket off Ticketmaster. I don't know how I got it. It was the only one available. And sitting at the game, the people sitting around was like, oh, how do you, you know, everybody was season ticket holders that knew each other and were conversating, you know, talking throughout the entire game. So I like that aspect of the game as well. But yeah, you know, we've done ECHL and
that's going to be hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah, it's not the best. And I have turned on, like, the OHL that's on TV or so often.
Oh, yeah, and NHL Network shows some of those games.
Yeah, and I think I saw like a Notre Dame or Minnesota college game. Ooh. Again, I'm not watching, sit down, focus all my attention on it, and I may not even, I may watch like a period and then switch something else, but yeah, I mean, if it's getting to the point where hockey is hockey, and I will watch whatever. Yeah.
The CHL, the Canadian Junior Hockey League, it's interesting because it's kind of like, it's like when you're there, it's like high school basketball. It's what it feels like. I've had some of my favorite experiences have always been at watching junior hockey. But at the same time, it's also like college football, because you're watching these kids. Some of them have already been drafted. Some of them are about to be drafted. And so there's this sort of weird charm of saying like, oh, I saw that guy. You know, 3 years from now, you can say, oh, I saw such and such play when he was back in junior. A couple of years ago, I went to the championship tournament for junior hockey. It's called the Memorial Cup. And the year that I went, Connor McDavid's team was supposed to be there. And I bought my tickets, and I was expecting him. And then his team got upset in the previous round before the Memorial Cup started. And so I wound up seeing his current teammate, Leon Draisaitl, in that tournament. So it was fun to be able to be like, when they have NHL success, you're like, oh, I remember seeing him when he was 18. So that's always kind of neat. What do you like most about the in-game experience? I think we kind of talked a little bit about that. But is there anything in particular that... You know, obviously being able to watch the players change and whatnot, but is there something that you find different about going to a hockey game versus going to a NBA game in the same arena, you know?
Yeah. One is hockey, and the other is stupid NBA.
Oh.
No, you know what? And this is going to go back to my kind of comedic answer at the beginning of what I like about hockey. It's mascots.
Sure.
I think what makes a good mascot is being out in the crowd, you know, even though I'm not necessarily a Kings fan, I think Bailey is probably one of the best mascots for working the crowd. And that's where, you know, going back to the Phantoms game, where they do have a mascot. The Flyers do not. They're one of the only two teams in the league that doesn't have a mascot. And Melvin is the Phantoms mascot, LV for Lehigh Valley. I saw him one time during the game.
Oh,
and that was like at the end of the second period, he came down and shook his butt in front of the glass on the visiting team's bench.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we've been to Nashville's nowhere around. When
Florida.
Yeah. You know, I think
I judge those arenas by that.
Yeah.
Those were unfortunate that we didn't have the mascot around.
Yeah. But I think, if you have a mascot that is out there, like Thunderbug in Tampa was all over the place.
Sharky
is around doing things, and not just at intermission on the ice with whatever game or whatever's going on. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I think because that's something you don't see on TV is the mascots. So.
Sure. What has been your favorite game that you've attended in person, and or just what memorable moments do you remember from the games mm-hmm. you've attended?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned the two hat tricks earlier, which is obviously something that doesn't happen every game, so those are kind of memorable. But the other thing is, I always say San Jose. That was my, you know, as we say, come to Jesus moment with hockey. Where
it's a Saturday night hockey. It was just a regular Saturday night game.
It was just that arena. It was the fact that they have a giant shark head that laid lower from the ceiling and take the ice through the mouth, and SJ Sharky. You know, I live every week like it's Shark Week now because of the Sharks. You know, and I'll throw in, like we said, Tampa Bay was a great experience.
Yeah.
Just the fans and the atmosphere outside. Vancouver has been a great place.
I enjoyed Vancouver.
You know, really, And again, the negative aspects are more not so much from the game or the fan. It's like Nassau Coliseum was just an old,
kind of a dumpy arena.
Place.
Yeah.
Florida just being a dead Monday night game. You know, I think those are more. I think Nashville would probably be shockingly the most disappointing game that we've been to, just because. You know, and maybe it's because I was at the time a few months earlier was looking at possibly moving to Nashville. And was like, okay, I can get behind the Predators. And then I go to the game, and it's just, like I said, with the fans yelling, you know, you suck, and, you know, the mascot Nash not being around. It just, nothing about that experience was positive.
Okay. Well, then we'll end on something positive. My final question, what would you like non-fans or new fans to know about the sport, and what do you think they should appreciate?
I mean, coming from a non-athletic person, the fact that what these guys do on skates, because I have been ice skating very shakily, just trying to go around in a circle, much less trying to pass a puck, skate backwards, play defense. Yeah, it's. I you know, I'm going to steal your line. I can, I can go out and shoot a basketball. LeBron James can shoot a basketball better than I can. Mm-hmm. I can throw a football. Nick Foles can throw a better football than I can. I can't skate that well, so I appreciate what they do better. And I think as a sport for someone who doesn't watch, what to appreciate is just take the time to watch a game in full. Like, don't just turn it. Give it one or two games, and especially if you have the chance to go see live hockey. Because mm-hmm. I think live is a better experience than television, and I think it will help. You know, if you're interested, it's going to cement your interest probably better than just watching on TV.
Yeah, and that goal horn goes off, and you see 15,000 people all jump to their feet at once.
Well, that brings up a good point. Going back to one of your questions, I think going to all these different arenas and seeing the traditions that these teams have, you know, like what they yell out at certain points in the game or during the national anthems, I think that's what makes hockey maybe different than all the other sports, because you don't get that in baseball or basketball, mm-hmm. football.
Oh yeah, I mean, I had fun. We just went to Winnipeg, and one of their traditions is they're owned by a company called True North Sports and Entertainment, and they always say, you know, we're the North, True North. And there's a line in O Canada that says True North Strong and Free. God, I hope I don't get that wrong. And so, but during that part of the anthem, the crowd chants True North all at once. Yeah. And so I was waiting to do that with it. And it was just as electrifying as I had hoped. I mean, I think we kind of alluded to it earlier, but one of the things that is easy to embrace this sport is that it has some of the fewest stops in action. Mm-hmm. Like, it's essentially, if anybody's listening and they don't know, they take three TV timeouts during the period. And all three timeouts are 90 seconds long. And that's it. So they keep the action moving, and they've done steps. Games used to be 3 hours. Now they're down to a good 240 because when they're changing players on faceoffs, they get out. They don't let the coaches just linger and figure out who they're going to put on the ice. They give them a time limit. Let's get this game going. Yeah. So they've done a good job. So that was Chad's hockey questionnaire.
Now let's, you know, before we wrap this up, let's go in. We've mentioned the hockey trips that we've done. We've got two more this season coming up in the next 6 weeks. Well, in 2 weeks, we're heading off to Detroit to the Little Caesars Pizza Arena.
The Oven, I think is what the one that, or the Pizza Arena. I think they call it the Pizza Arena.
The new arena that just opened this year. I was sad. I was trying to go to a game last season at the Joe Louis Arena. Not because I wanted to necessarily see a hockey game there before it closed, but because wrestling fans will know that is the site where Hulk Hogan and the Giant had a monster truck battle, and Hulk Hogan threw the Giant off the roof of the Joe Louis Arena. I wanted to go pay my respects, but hopefully I'll get a chance to drive by and at least take a shot of the outside.
Yeah, I know it's not open anymore, but I don't think it's been torn down as of yet. You know, I got a chance to go there before. It's interesting. It was kind of like Nassau. Like, it's an older place, but there's a lot of history there. I think this one, I mean, the two trips we've got coming up, I'm really excited about. I can't wait. We're going to be, I mean, a week and a half, basically, we'll be in a plane to Detroit. And you won't be there for the whole time. My fiance is going to fly in, and I got another friend who lives in Dayton, Ohio, is going to meet us. But I'm essentially going to do 9 games in 9 days. And there are OHL, you know, Canadian junior hockey teams there. There's three different NCAA Division I programs that I want to see there. And there's even an ECHL team. And I know we said the ECHL, sometimes it's not as great, but we're going to a Saturday night game, and it's one of the teams that has the greatest attendance in the league, which is they're called the Toledo Walleye. And so this will be my first experience actually seeing college hockey in person. And we're seeing Michigan versus Notre Dame, so that should be pretty crazy. And we're seeing Michigan State, and it's their final home game, so it'll probably be senior night. I'm sure there'll be some random a lot of parents in attendance, so I think it'll be a lot of fun. And then we'll get a chance to go. We're going to be up in Canada for a game, and we're going to see Sarnia, so that'll be fun. And then the other trip we're doing is to Toronto, because I've planned it around the fact that the Maple Leafs are playing on a Saturday night. It's been fun. I've tried for all the games we've seen in Canada, I try to go see a Saturday night game, because Hockey Night in Canada is a tradition that goes back to the 40s. But we specifically planned it so that we're going to be there like Easter weekend. But the entire week leading up to that game is they're going to be the first round of the OHL playoffs. And so I believe, I looked it up, there are like 10 or 11 OHL teams within a 2-hour drive of Toronto. So essentially, there's going to be a game every night, and what I'm trying to do right now is, I mean, I can't guess. The schedule won't come out until the week before we leave, so I have no idea. But what I've been doing right now is trying to figure out, okay, which, I've been reading reviews of the arenas, and people saying, okay, you have to go see this one, you have to, this one, not so much. So I've kind of prioritized my list and said, okay, these are the ones I'm going to try the hardest to get to. And what I'm hoping, I don't know if it's going to be one of the ones that you'll be able to see with me or not, but I want to see Hamilton. Because it's a great play, by the way.
And you don't have to go to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to throw away my shot to see Hamilton. Cricket? No. So years ago, Hamilton built an arena in the mid-80s specifically for an NHL team. It holds like 17, 18,000. And they tried to, like, so many random teams have been rumored to be moving there. The Coyotes, the Predators. So I want to see that arena and walk around and see, like, could an NHL team be here? And now they're already talking about the fact that they want to replace it and build a smaller arena because there's a junior team and they don't need that many seats for a junior arena. So that should be fun. And we're also going to work in the home opener of the Toronto Blue Jays, and they're playing the Yankees. So I think that'll probably be a pretty electric game too. So,
all right. Well, that has been a recap of the first half of the NHL season. I'm sure once the playoff starts, we'll come back with more discussion on the games and, you know, recap the trips to Michigan and Toronto. Real quick, Stanley Cup playoff prediction right now. Call it final game. How many games?
The final. I think it's going to end up being Tampa Bay against Nashville. I think it's tough to call because they're so evenly matched. I think Nashville was just there last year. I think they're sort of, it's like a slow play this year. They're not immediately dominant. They're just hanging around. Winnipeg is still in first place in that division. But when the playoffs start, they just play so well at home. And I really hope we get a Winnipeg-Nashville series in that, you know, because I think it would just be, those are two great home crowds. But I think Nashville probably, I mean, the Vegas story is great. Something's going to happen. It's too good to be true. I mean, it would be a nice story. I mean, it might make the fans a little spoiled, a little jaded, but I think Nashville ends up winning out. And then the East, it seems like Tampa's the only one. They're going to have to suffer some major injuries probably to not advance that far. So as far as who's going to win it, I'll just say Nashville.
Okay. I mean, I would not be disappointed with the Tampa Bay Stanley Cup playoff. Obviously, I'm going to go for the Penguins doing the three-peat, but they seem to be very spotty this year, so hopefully they can pull it together. I'm going to go... You know, I don't want to go Pittsburgh-San Jose again, and I don't want to go Pittsburgh-Vegas, mainly because I don't want two teams that I like in the playoffs. Sure. I thought, you know, a couple of years ago when we got Pittsburgh and San Jose, I was like, oh, this is going to be a great series. I like both teams. And it turned out to be probably the least interesting Stanley Cup that I found, because I didn't care who won.
I was happy
with either one, so I had no interest. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go Penguins. Let's do Winnipeg, just because I'm not sure who else is in the standings right now. Because I know the Kings are hanging on and the Ducks are out. So I'm going to go Winnipeg, Pittsburgh, and we'll see.
Right.
I'm going to say it'll go down six games.
Yeah, okay. I'll say Nashville in seven just because it's so cheesy to say. Because I think those teams are both so evenly matched. But
all right. Well, once again, Mike, thanks for becoming a regular on the show. You can find him on Twitter at Mike DeKalb. Website is www.hockeytransplant.com. You can read his recaps of all of our previous trips and some other random thoughts out there. And like I said, once a month he does the Squire Report. So if you are a Vegas Golden Knights fan, check out his monthly predictions for that team. You can find me on Twitter at Chad Smart. Don't forget, 2 weeks, the first installment of Question Everything with Tom Skull here on Positive Cynicism. And then the week after that, the last week of the month, the second installment of Wonder Why. And this month, we will be examining the Joey Scarberry hit, Believe It or Not, the theme from The Greatest American Hero. And based on some early research, I think this is going to be a good episode. Some interesting tidbits to be thrown out there.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. But as always, question everything. Do something positive. We'll see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.